tell talking the truth, to Wallace. You know. Wallace, who started calling you Cheese Weed?
Well, ever since I was a small child, my daddy had a good friend. His name was Cheese Manning. And when I was born, he says, Willie, which was my daddy, he says, I want you to name that baby Cheese after me. He was an oil man. He was running the hotel in Eunice at the time. I was born in 1924. And Mr. Manning was running the Maher Hotel. Mm-hmm. Maher Hotel. And they started calling me Cheese. And that's how I got the name. Mm-hmm. And
what is your birthday?
My birthday is, I was born in 1924, August the 12th.
Right here in Eunice?
Right in Eunice. And a year after, my daddy bought the lumber from the old church when they tore down the wood building in Eunice to build a new Catholic church, brick. He bought the lumber, and this is how what my house was made. This is made with red cypress and yellow pine.
Did your dad play music too?
No, but both of my grandfathers played music, and I had an uncle that played music.
Oh, really? On both sides, your grandfathers played? On your mother's side?
No, on the reeds.
On
the reeds.
Just on the reeds.
Yeah.
Play fiddle or?
Well, they played the fiddle, yeah. Well, that's where I got the fiddle from them. And we are Scotch, Irish, and German. I'm French. My great-grandmother was a teacher. She originally come from Bordeaux, France.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, what
is concerned? It's more German. German than anything else. Because most of the reeds over here were originally from Scotland or Ireland or England. Or EID or WED and so forth. The original way my name was spelled was R-H-E-A-D-E.
So it was German?
Yeah.
But your grandfathers already spoke French or not?
When they couldn't speak French, but when they came over here, they all started speaking French.
Is that right?
And they practiced medicine around here, and Prairie Rhone and Grand Chenier.
But did
in Opelousas territory, this was known as Opelousas.
They were German doctors?
Well, yeah, they were German doctors, and they learned the French custom, and they married into a French family.
But do you remember some of their music? Did they still play German music, or was it already French music?
Well, they played both. They played mostly German music, and like from Alsace-Lorraine, you know, those type of music, that type of music. But I don't remember that, you know. Yeah. I was told that.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one to play, well, besides myself, I didn't know him. He died young, my daddy's brother. Then I inherited the violin, you see. But the violin came from the old country. Evidently depicted
in words,
somewhere.
In other words, the violin that you have now came from, they brought from the old country.
Yeah, yeah. Some of them brought it. And then they settled on the East Coast, and then they drifted down here towards New Orleans and these parts, yeah.
As a little boy, what was the first French music you heard? Was it mostly violins or was it accordion music?
It was mostly violins.
Uh-huh.
Mostly violins.
Do you think there was a kind of a class difference between the people who liked the accordion music and those who just played the violins?
Well, most of the time, yeah, there was a difference because you had a lot of people here that came from all over. And they came to this part because they'd hear such and such was here, such and such was here, and they'd come over, you know, they'd weave their way over here. And some of them would like a certain kind of music, stomp and jigs and Irish reels and Scottish songs, you see. And others, they like German songs, German waltzes, and others like the Acadian songs, like from Canada and Nova Scotia and all that. But the real population over here was all mixed German, mostly from the old country, Germany and from France and from Spain, that settled right in here, you see. The actual Cajuns didn't come up to here. There's a few that drifted later, right here. The actual Cajuns settled along the lower country over there.
For the south of here.
South, southeast and east.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But right here, there was a lot of Spanish grants and a lot of French grants. and our and German, you know, they had family connections one way or the other, and most of these that settled around here were had grants. A lot of them had grants, mm-hmm. land grants, and then the others finally bought it out from others and changed hands from one to the other. Mm-hmm. But this was a grand mixture right in here. You had Spaniards, you had Portuguese, you had Germans, mm-hmm. Czechs, Hungarians, mm-hmm. you name it.
When you were a teenager, what were some of the first live music that you heard that you liked, or can you remember?
Family? Was it your family?
No. My daddy would take me out to country dances locally, and I was... They didn't know I had an ear for music, but then they could see my foot and I'd stand near the players. Most of them, a lot of time, were darkies, colored.
Oh, really?
Yeah, colored people playing uh-huh. music. Oh, yeah, we had a lot of people here, black people play music. I learned from some of them.
uh-huh. Did they have, was it with violins and accordion?
Violins and washboards.
Ah, yeah.
Washboards. And a piece of hollow wood.
Tap, tap, tap. Oh, really? Huh. What sort of music were they playing? French music or blues and jazz?
Blues and jazz, a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything, uh-huh.
It was a mixture.
Have you earned your living down through the years, Chief?
Over here?
Yeah. Well, a farm?
Well, my daddy was a farmer, and I farmed to a certain extent, a little bit. But I never did like to grow cotton or anything. I stuck mostly to cattle. Mm-hmm. And I worked different jobs. In the last few years, I worked with different oil companies, mm-hmm. picking up leases. And now that's, I learned a lot with them, checking titles on uh-huh. the courthouse. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I can imagine.
And I finally checked enough titles and stuff that they finally put me in oil well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So a lot of people believe that I pulled strings and they put me in oil well. But that's not the way it's done.
No.
It has to be just according to the size of my graph.
Mm-hmm. Tell me something about your vocal style. You got a real good, strong voice. Where did you learn your singing? Did you learn any of your vocal style from those black people that you heard very early, or? Are you conscious of those things?
Yeah, a lot of that was, and some and others, you know. But more, it just came naturally. Mm-hmm. I always did have a powerful voice. And since I was a small child, my mother would always tell me, she'd, calm down, you sound like we're having an argument. I said, Mom, I said, we're not having an argument. I said, I just talk loud. I said, we just are going to have to get used to each other.
In those days when you were young in the 30s, was it okay for you as a white person to go to the Negro dances?
Oh yeah, uh-huh. we wouldn't take in the dance actually, but we'd go and we'd visit with them, and we were welcome in their house.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And just like they were welcome in our house, you know, but they wouldn't partake in the actual party.
Actual dance.
Yeah. It was a segregated deal, but it went both ways. Mm-hmm. But we went to a lot of weddings and the black weddings, and they did the same. We'd invite sometimes. Years ago, it was a dance right in this room right here, and two old colored fellas playing the two violins.
Oh, really?
And one. There was no guitar in those days, but they didn't know how to play. But they'd keep time with a washboard or a triangle. And Clifton Chenier has got that washboard style, his brother. They have stainless steel, now they hang them in the neck. It's not like the old rubber dub dub. But it's good rhythm. Mm-hmm. Good rhythm.
Benefit dances for the colored people in Venice already.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And you played for mm-hmm. black dances too.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Who were some of the first musicians? Can you remember any of them by name when you were growing up, you know, in the 30s?
Well, there was one of them that just before me, he was a very heavy, dark man. Mm-hmm. He'd get that accordion, man, he'd make it talk. And there's an old man that I knew after that learned from him. His name was Adam, the old colored man was named Adam. And his boy, Canary Fontenot, plays with Bois Sec.
Oh, his son is Canary, fiddle player with...
Yeah, Canary.
And his father was one of the first people that you...
Remember? Right around here.
His name was Adam Fontenot.
Adam Fontenot.
And he was a violin player?
Cardon, we call him Cardon.
Oh, he was accordion?
Oh, yeah, accordion. Very good, very good. Oh, man, he...
He was better than Amadeo Adouin?
Well, as good or better. Uh-huh. I mean, they came afterwards, but they mostly took his style.
I see.
Didn't
Canary's
daddy teach Adam
Frugier? Yeah, Canary's daddy taught Adam Frugier that has in one of those records that you got from
Harry Austria?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Frugier was on that. And he old Cardon, we call him Cardon, but his name was actually Adam. Adam Fontenot taught old man Adam Frugier that was in one of Austria's recording and with me.
As far back as you remember, you always liked French music, or was there other kinds of music that you liked?
Well, I first started off with French music because that's mostly what was played around here. And I started rubbing sticks together. At the years ago, the fireplace, mm-hmm. Go to my grandmother. They say, play like Olivier Edouard, Oliver Edwards. I'd heard him play a dance somewhere. So I went down the pile of kindling. I took two kindlings and I started rubbing them. Started singing and playing like old man Olivier Edouard. Ton papa, ta maman, t'as tout le temps dit, faut les jamais tu fais ça, t'aurais pleuré. And it started from that, and I started playing the harmonica after that. And my daddy bought me a little three-quarter size, little half-size violin.
How old were you then?
I was about 12. Yeah. He bought me a three-quarter size.
How long did it take you to learn to play?
It didn't take me long. Not after I was playing the harmonica.
I guess you always had a good ear, did you, for music?
Yeah, and one time Daddy used to take me, have my fiddle tuned before I could tune it. And he took me to an old neighbor that was living here, nearby. And the old man, he was used to playing his style. He'd double up on that last string. He'd double up the big string, you know, so that they didn't have to use all that rigmarole, you know, and make it sound easy. And he doubled my violin, and I come over here, there was something wrong. I didn't like
it. You mean he retuned it? He.
Well, he tuned it, but then I knew there was something wrong, and I sat down on those steps right there, and I tuned it myself, and I had never tuned a violin. Yeah. And then I started playing one of those old waltzes that we played here tonight. An old waltz that me and Mark played on the fiddle.
Mm-hmm. Back in when you were growing up,
I guess. Which waltz was that?
It was one of the latter ones we played. McGee made it later. Uh-huh. Dennis McGee.
He made it later, but I mean, he started recording in 28. You were born in 22?
Yeah, but McGee, you see, most of those songs, the tunes were played way back there, and then they'd revise them and put new words to them, you see.
Uh-huh. I mean, almost all those numbers that McGee and those fellows played, those were numbers that were floating around all over
right.
the place.
Did you ever play with Dennis?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. City, and Dennis, and Chuck Geary. Leo Swallow and Harry Schultz. I played with some of Bob Wills' players when I was in Amarillo in 1943.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
How long were you in Texas?
About a year.
What sort of what brought you out there?
I was in the service.
Oh, in the service.
I was stationed at Amarillo Airfield in Amarillo, Texas.
Uh-huh.
And there were some of Bob's players that were there. And we had some good jam sessions.
You also said that you met Doug Kershaw at some point.
Oh yeah, Doug was born and raised not too far off here, in the swamp back in there, near Jennings. Well, they played all around these parts here, and
was that when they had the French band?
Yeah, they call themselves the Bulleh Gang. And boy, we had a ball every time we get together. And then after that, well, they became known as Rust and Doug when they went further to Nashville or wherever. And Jim and Newman, we all started about the same time on the Crowley Road. I call it the Strip. Most of the musicians and Clifton Chenier started back in there working in the rice field. And during the noontime, they'd get him to play and sing.
Where was this exactly?
Well, a little south of here, towards Jennings Welch and...
Uh-huh. In that area, which is Highway 10 now.
Yeah, around Crowley, Opelousas here, and Chatania, and around I-10, and 190, and 167, right all in there. Well, Merlin Fontenot and Jody Smith. Now, trained a boy in Kendal. He's getting honors now all over. Ken Smith, he plays fiddle, Texas and Mississippi, Louisiana all over. He gets him first prizes just about every time. Mm-hmm. I trained him.
Mm-hmm. I guess have you played mostly for the fun of it, or have you played a lot of dances where people pay you?
Mostly for the fun.
That's nice. So it's really
and for benefits a lot of times, or like a lot of times we'd go to several years back. Well, when they had gatherings of various professors from all along the Massachusetts on down, we'd go and show them what we knew, uh-huh. And we'd have a ball. And they'd give us good money, you know, when we'd do that. Mm. Sometimes at LSUE, they have gatherings. Uh-huh. But I usually played just for fun. I never did want to travel and go like others have. I could have, but I figured I had done my share when I was younger.
When you were a teenager in the 30s, did you listen much to the swing music on the radio, or did you pay much attention to that?
Not too much swing music. I listened to the Bros, the family of Bros. They were uh-huh. in the row bands. Meus Leffler, Leo Swallow.
Mm-hmm. Remember when you had your first organized band, the first time you were ever in a band? How old was
it? Yes. We were several boys from Eunice. We got together and made a band. It was a banjo and a fiddle and a guitar. Hmm.
So how old were you then?
About 14, 15. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And, they're just about all gone, those that I started off with. Very good musicians. We have a lot of good musicians around here, especially around Lafayette, Rain, Crowley, all in those parts.
When you say you were listening to the Bro family and Leo Swallow, were they broadcasting on the radio in this area, or did you go to
They made records, and uh-huh. Leo Swallow would play on the radio. I was a little older then. Leo Swallow and, well, Harry Schultz came afterwards. Well, Harry started with Leo playing lead guitar.
Oh, really?
Then they disbanded, and he put up his own band. He started playing the fiddle. And, but the beauty part about it is that I took a little bit from all of those players. J.B. Fusier, Hackberry Ramblet, Harry Schultz, Chuck Gurry to a certain extent, Leo Swallow. And that's how it is.
That's good.
Really, sure. And I've changed my style at different intervals in my life, but now I just about got the whole...
A little bit of everything in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, huh? In it.
Yeah, that makes it great.
So I'm sticking to that. I'm 54, I'm going on 55, so I think that's... I'll keep that.
Oh, great. That's really nice.
But I thought I knew music. I thought I knew, you know, actually, when I was younger. It's a pity that I never had any recordings that I could listen to myself. But I didn't play true music when I was young as like as I play today.
Hmm. How did you play then?
Well, I was mostly a little erratic. And a few missing links, and patch up here, patch up there. But, and then I didn't have the experience, you see. Since then, I played with a lot of experienced players, you see. That goes a long way. And in those days, well, we'd play in G, C, and D. And if I'd make a minor or a major, the guitar didn't know it, he just had to keep it going.
What kind of backup do you like best? What kind of instruments, what kind of band do you like to play with?
Oh.
Or does it matter?
I love a saxophone and with a string band. Or a clarinet, but the sax. And I like a bass, either upright bass or a good bass player that really play bass like it should. And I like about two or three fiddles.
I mean, that's so like the Bob Wills band?
Yeah,
something like that?
Mm-hmm. Oh. I love to play with two or three fiddles. Uh-huh. In fact...
And a solid rhythm section?
Yeah. Mark has some recordings, some tapes that we played with this little girl, Karen, uh-huh. from... Well, I guess you know Karen, or you never met her.
I never met
she's
her.
She's from Oregon, I think.
That's what he told me.
Yeah, and she's wonderful. We had never played together before, but we didn't have to give signals. We didn't have to do anything, man. When I made one, she made the other, and she was making. When I'd make the alto, she'd make the tenor, and when I'd take the lead, she'd. Oh, I'll tell you, it was out of this world.
I'll be done.
For a while there, we were about. Well, that night, I think we were about four violins. I like accordion, but I'm crazy about violin music and I even like trumpet. I played several parties already with this good trumpet player. He played with Harry James already. He was out of Opelousas. Tommy Gosselin. And I didn't think it would work. But I was playing a dance in Basile, and he was feeling pretty good. He drove by, he came back on the bandstand in the back there, and was playing with a young boy playing the piano. And Tommy had his trumpet. He came over here, he says, came in the back, he says, "Would you mind," he says, "if I sat in with y'all?" All the Cajuns kind of looked at him, you know. They didn't think it would work. I didn't think it would work either, but I knew the man. And he says, "All you got to do," he says, "is do your thing." And he said, "Don't worry about me." So we look at each other, look at the piano player. That's why I love to, you know, to catch your eye.
Oh, yeah. and
man, you told me, that man would whip it up and down on that trumpet.
What kind of tunes did you play with them?
Well, he'd play what we played. He had never played them before.
French tunes?
French, yeah.
Really, huh?
Oh, yeah, he'd get it. He'd get with it. Yeah. And then we'd play some of his, you know. Uh-huh. But man, he'd tell me, he says, "Go ahead and play." And then he had and then he'd...
Sort of riff behind you,
yeah,
and stuff?
Yeah, uh-huh. And he'd go tenor and alto, or he'd take a lead. Uh-huh. And when he'd take a lead, well, we'd go...
Did you use an amplified violin? Or
no.
No?
We'd
put it right into the
microphone? We'd stand up, yeah.
Oh. I like to hear that sometimes.
No amplification at all. We'd stand in front of the the mic, and that was it. Uh-huh. We had two boxes, one side of the dance hall and the other side of the dance hall. Uh-huh. Baffles or whatever you call it.
Oh, every time.
That was...
That sounds like...
Who's accordion, is it?
Mark left the accordion. We're staying down at his place.
Oh, well, you can take it.
Yeah, we just take it over.
So that's it. what I know today is it makes history, because I caught it from a lot of good musicians and a lot of musicians that weren't too popular, but they were good in some respects. They had certain talents. Mm-hmm. We all have to that degree, you know. Because I played with a lot of musicians that like, I don't consider myself one of the best musicians, violin player, but a lot of fellas, they play certain numbers that I don't care for. And I guess I could have learned them if I wanted. But some of those fellas that they only can play about one or two tunes, the Orange Blossom Special real well, and another kind of song, and that's about it. Where I'll go, and the people are going to ask me all over, play a certain song, and I know, and I can play them. So, I mean, I figure that I've accomplished a lot by doing that, by learning, you know, what the people like.
Yeah.